The inaugural meeting of the House Revenue Committee of the 2003 legislative session, and welcome members present, especially our new members from sessions who have not been on revenue before, and Representative Berger and Scott and Barnhart. Welcome you all to the Revenue Committee. We have a very short agenda this morning. We'll look at committee rules and a work plan and a possible introduction of committee bills. We'll actually only have one bill to introduce. Before I begin, for those of you who are new to revenue, let me just introduce a few players who are here. Kim is our office manager, committee administrator down there, and Kathy Tooley is our committee assistant with us this morning. So, glad to have them here. Paul, anybody else you want to introduce?
I also have Carol Phillips with us, who will be leaving us soon, with us to help get us started.
Great. Thank you for being in the transition. We'll have staff people here during orientation, so you'll get to meet all of the revenue staff economists as they cover their subject matter areas over the next couple of days. Just briefly, we'll have the meeting today just to adopt the rules and the work plan, and then we have one bill to introduce. Tomorrow there will be an orientation. Paul can give you a preview of that when we finish up here at the end of the agenda this morning. No meeting on Friday. I'll be gone tomorrow and Friday. There'll be no meeting on Friday. And then we'll be starting on our five-day week schedule next Monday. Paul, do you have that in front of us? The calendar? There you go.
We have our weekly planner, and that's something we will provide for you. We'll try to have done by Thursday night. Make sure you have that Friday morning going into the next week.
All right. Okay. Just so you know what's ahead. So one day of orientation starting tomorrow, and then we'll continue orientation and some bill introduction and maybe move into some fairly easy bills in the course of the next couple of weeks before we get into the tougher sledding. It's Dick Yates just walking in the room. Dick is one of our economists. You get to hear from him on transportation and timber and excise taxes and anything else. Lottery. Thank you. All right. With that, then.
Wait mile.
Pardon?
Wait mile. Wait mile.
Transportation.
Yeah.
Wait mile.
Mile.
And there's no coffee this morning, but I understand that we do get coffee. Is that right? So those of you who look forward to that at an 8:30 meeting, especially revenue meeting, we'll have coffee for the session. All right, we have before us first the committee rules. These were circulated to you yesterday to give you a chance, I hope, to spend some time. Paul, do you want to walk us through these? Just to summarize, I assume that we can fairly represent that these are the standard committee rules.
Yes, Mr. Chair, those of you on the Revenue Committee last session, they should look familiar to you because they are the same, pretty much general in terms of committee decision-making, the role of the chair, how subcommittees are developed, and so forth. The one thing I'll draw your attention to that is something we added during the last session is number 15 there, the Oregon Tax Incidence Model. Those of you here last session recall we've developed this model to use for two things. One is to be able to trace through economic feedback effects from major tax proposals. And the other thing that the tax incidence model allows us to do is show the distribution of the final burden of any tax change. So we can compare that with a current estimate of the distribution of the burden. So it's a powerful tool, not very very useful for minor changes to the tax system, but I think very useful for you for major proposals. And so these were the rule that was adopted by the committee last time for revenue changes of more increases or decreases of $10 million or more in the coming biennium, and then also to basically give the chair the discretion when the tool would be provide valuable insight.
Okay. Are there any questions on the rules? Can I entertain a motion then the rules be adopted?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Williams.
I'll move the we adopt the rules as presented.
Representative Williams, with the House Committee on Revenue, proposed rules be adopted as the committee rules for the 2003 legislative session. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, the rules are adopted. Next, we have the work plan that, again, was submitted to you yesterday. I'd be happy to entertain some discussion on this today, either questions about things that are on here or proposals for amendment or addition. Paul, do you want to walk us through this?
Okay. Mr. Chair, what I've tried to do is, in that first page there, is think of some themes that have been growing over the interim. As we go into the session, a number of these things, a discussion of follows up on some of the work of the Revenue Options Task Force that Chair Shetterly also chaired, and to develop some continuity to that. But these are the issues that that we've identified. This is not meant to be all-encompassing by any means. As you know, over the next 6 months, things can always change and issues can arise that none of us can anticipate at this point. But I think as we look ahead, these are kind of general themes. Clearly, from the theme of the governor's budget and the situation the economy is in right now, revenue policy and economic development is a major issue, probably taking its greatest prominence really since the 80s, I think, as we look ahead to raising the issue of why Oregon's unemployment rate is the highest in the country and the impact of the 2001-2002 recession, what that's done in terms of the flow of revenue, and discussions about what revenue policy might do in the future. So that's one of the themes, and I think as we look through the draft legislation that's come through, you'll see a lot of bills that'll have links to economic development policy. The second issue would be reaction to recent and possible future federal tax legislation. We have a series of issues here. Those of you here during the special sessions recall the issue of the bonus depreciation that was passed by the federal government. Oregon automatically connects to changes in the federal tax base through our rolling reconnect provision, which was adopted, came out of this committee in 1997. And so what that means is for any changes at the federal level, then have potential revenue implications. We have just begun to look at the implications for the president's proposal. We know that, for example, the dividend exclusion that was a cornerstone of his provision would have significant revenue impacts for us, significant negative revenue impacts. There's some other things that are positive, though, in terms of the initial revenue effect. For example, anything that ends up increasing decreasing federal taxes, like the increased per child credit, has an offsetting effect of increasing Oregon revenue because there's less federal taxes to deduct. So those kinds of issues come up. The other one came into play just at the end of the 01 session, was discussed during the interim, but is a major policy issue for you, is estate taxation. Oregon does not connect to changes in federal estate law. As you know, the federal government has undergone significant changes in estate law, estate tax law, and actually phasing out the estate tax. That has an immediate impact on state revenue, and we're beginning to see that. So that's a major policy issue for you to address.
Okay.
The third area that we mentioned there is a local revenue option for schools. This has been an issue that has been a significant one for the committee, both in 1999 when local option school property taxes were passed. Local option was not included as part of the original Measure 50. It was added in 99. We've learned how that works.
Or doesn't.
And that's there are significant reasons to review that. The ability of districts to raise local option revenue in the Measure 50, Measure 5 environment. Also in 2001, it was House Bill 2300, which does create a local option equalization grant, relatively minor in terms of dollar amounts, actually less than $500,000,
But the concept there was discussed quite a bit by the committee, and I think it's the chair's intention that issue be discussed again.
Paul, I guess you say minor in amount. That's because there wasn't much money appropriated to that, isn't that right? Is that a matter of the dollars in the fund? Is that what it amounts to?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. But it also, what it does is equal. It depends on how you define which districts are eligible
right.
for equalization, and that's narrowly defined now. We only have three districts that are eligible that have passed a local option, and Pendleton being the largest one.
Yeah, well, we'll take a look at that.
Of course, the issue of local options for schools and school finance in general are a prominent issue for the body. The revenue policy response to the 2001-2003 budget shortfall. Of course, we know that our general fund revenue is actually more than $2 billion short on a constant law basis of what was assumed when the legislature adopted the 2001-2003 budget. The series of decisions were made during the special session with revenue implications. A couple of them we know need to be revisited to work out some things. One is on the master settlement, some issues there. Also, there's some issues around the adjustment that was made to allowing districts to accrue a portion of their payments that were received after the biennium ended. We've got some issues with that we need to deal with to clarify that for the Department of Education on how districts account for that. And then there's some also bigger policy issues in terms of revisiting potential increases in revenue if that becomes the decision or the direction that you want to go. The other kind of themes here, the targeted revenue increases. As we know, the budget environment is such that there's very little, there's no surplus revenue and not enough revenue to meet the current service level. So any specific programs or program proposals are likely to have some revenue source attached to it, and this is the natural location for those revenue sources to be discussed and put into the context of overall revenue policy. So I would anticipate you'll see some proposals like that to work with. And then finally, I mentioned the Revenue Options Task Force that was established by Special Session 3, which really began a process of trying to lay the groundwork for restructuring Oregon's tax system. We'll be talking about that over the next couple of weeks. And, of course, the most prominent feature that has come home very glaringly over the last couple of years is the instability of the revenue system. So this committee has traditionally taken a lead role in looking at tax restructure proposals, and it's anybody's guess whether something will emerge as a prominent issue or not, but this committee, I think, is always involved in laying the groundwork for good overall revenue policy.
And you want to walk us through these other subject areas just to see what's on the table?
These are again, some things that we've identified. Many of them do fit into these themes, some not quite perfectly, but most of them do, I think. We've had this committee has looked at the urban renewal system in the wake of Measure 5 and in the wake of Measure 50. We had a decision made, a state Supreme Court decision made in the Shiloh Inn case. The Revenue Department has developed a rule to deal with that, and so that all is needs review. One thing might be useful at this point, Mr. Chair, will be introduce our Revenue Department liaisons here. They're sitting in the back there. John Phillips is from the Property Tax Division, Department of Revenue, and Debbie Buchanan from the Income Tax. They're kind of like extended staff for us, unpaid staff by us anyway, in this session, and I think you'll find them real helpful on Revenue Department issues. The other things we've identified, low-income housing has traditionally been an area where we see a lot of policy proposals. Timber taxation, we still have some outstanding issues on how to tax small woodland owners, and you'll see major legislation coming forward on that. And then there's always a series of property tax administration bills that deal with the post-Measure 50 environment and how the property tax is administered. We have a series of bills, for example, from the tax collectors and from the tax assessors that this committee will look at. On the personal income tax side, I mentioned the connection and disconnect issues, an issue that is, we have seen last session and likely to see again is capital gains taxation. Capital gains were a key factor in the volatility of our revenue system, but were also an issue in terms of economic development policy. So we would anticipate proposals there. The earned income credit was established by the 1997 legislature at 5% of the federal earned income credit. It's non-refundable in Oregon law. That is an issue that we have proposals on. It's continually revisited. And finally, a whole series of issues around income tax administration, particularly things like part-year residence issues that revolve around how to tax individuals that aren't full-time residents in the state.
From last session, people who work on the dams in the Columbia River.
We have that back, yes.
People who play on professional baseball teams, for example.
That's right.
Yes.
Do you know of any?
Another one. So we do know of some professional basketball teams. On the corporate income tax side, corporate income tax apportionment was changed significantly by the 01 legislature. There will be proposals for further changes or revisiting with those changes. Actually, the apportionment change that was passed in 01 takes effect for corporate tax years beginning May 1 of this year. So it hasn't actually taken effect yet, but will in the next few months. All states, by the way, have wrestled with that issue, I think, over the last 10 years. Throwback rule is another issue really around how we get at this complicated concept of how do we determine how much of a multinational, multi-state corporation is attributable to Oregon. And it's a very complex issue, and states spend a lot of time on this. And trying to do it in a fair way, yet not in a way that discourages economic growth. And there's always a tension point there. Research and development credits are a tool that the legislature has used, and with actually the current R&D credit was the sunset was extended by a one session, but we'll see proposals there. And finally, a series of issues around the corporate income tax, which I think it's pretty safe in saying most economists would consider that the most complex tax at the state level. School finance is the other area of under a purview of the House Revenue Committee. We've typically explored the distribution formula. The current the state school fund distribution formula originated in this committee in 1991. Hasn't been changed a whole lot since. It's been studied a lot, but it hasn't been changed a lot. But every session we do see some changes that can be significant for particular districts. And it's also something that's an extremely powerful tool because it has a huge impact on individual districts and where the state school fund dollars go. Again, the local option would fit within that context. The formula itself, what are the weights? What is the data behind the weights? Are there other weights that should be considered, or some of the weights should they be considered more than they are now? Those kinds of issues all come up. School finance has capital finance has been a big issue. The state has been very active, of course, funding operational funding, now 70% of schools' operation funding, but we have not gotten directly involved in the capital side. Left that as primarily locally funded, but we do see a lot of concerns about insufficient capital funds for the schools to maintain their infrastructure. ESD equalization was an issue that occupied particularly the Senate Revenue Committee, and they were during most of last session that equalization process was established over a 5-year period, so that there's revisiting to see how it's gone over the first couple of years, particularly in light of the revenue shortfalls we've had in the state school fund. School payment accounting, I mentioned there needs to be some changes there in terms of clarifying legislation. And finally, the Common School Fund is again an issue that this committee spent a lot of time on in terms of kind of the big policy issues to what its appropriate role is, but also we found in that process that there are some very significant operational issues of how do we determine what's available to be distributed, and some opinion we've gotten from the Attorney General Office has really made that problematic. And so we've got some legislation coming from the administration, from the State Lands Division, to try to clarify what can be distributed in a given year. And that can be an important source of revenue for the school districts. Right now, it's about $15 million a year under the 2% minimum distribution. Some of the other revenue issues, estate taxation, as I mentioned, master settlement securitization is another significant issue to revisit before the Treasury actually goes to the markets and offers the securitization. So they want some changes and some clarifications in that. They're working on a proposal for you. Transportation finance is a major issue. The governor has mentioned that as one of his key issues. We have some proposals on hotel motel taxes and other excise taxes. And then, of course, we tend to see local revenue initiatives. This committee not only deals with state revenue issues, but, of course, local revenue as well. And local finance can become a major issue and something you end up spending a lot of time on in many sessions. The general finance issues, the Education Stability Fund that you established in the special session was approved by the voters in Measure 19, can be revisited, and it could also be potentially augmented or looked at in other ways. And another issue that of course, has emerged in the context of our declining revenue stream has been the revenue forecasting process.
We want to see sunnier forecasts.
So the chair has directed me to do a review of the forecast process, which I'm in the process of working on and will have ready for you in the next couple of weeks. So I've been working with the state economist's office, and I have some recommendations that on the process that I think might improve the system. So that'll be something coming in the next couple of weeks. We'll have him come in and talk about how the forecasts are done. And then, of course, he will come in and update this committee. Traditionally, the revenue forecast is released before this committee initially. And we'll get a forecast on March the 1st, or actually a couple days before that. And then we'll get another one on May 15th, which the current law part you'll have to balance to for the legislatively approved budget for the 2003-05 budget period. So, and of course, we will be monitoring situations and information that we get from national sources like NCSL on the federal tax policy, and we're tracking the revenue situation very closely. We get revenue data from the department daily on what collections are coming in, literally what comes in the bank each day. So we know what that is, and we'll keep you abreast on the revenue situation and address any questions that you have.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. I'll open up for a discussion in just a minute. There are a couple of things that I think I would add to the work plan because I know they're out there and of concern. One, under the corporate income tax, I think we'll be seeing, so we may as well put it down, recognizing it's coming, some discussion of investment tax credit. That's an issue we'll be looking at. And under maybe other revenue issues would be the place to put it. I would propose that we list tax expenditures as another issue. I think that's something we'll have an ongoing review of in this session. Nothing specific in mind, but I think it's something we want to keep an eye on. The committee, the purpose of this work plan, of course, is not to suggest that I think this is more intended to identify what we will be seeing coming. I'm not asking for you to approve carte blanche every one of these issues in blank. We know the devil is in the details in all of these, and you may be reflexively so opposed to some of these that you wouldn't approve it even in concept. And I'm not asking that we do that. I think this is just mostly to identify issues that we would expect to see so that we have a sense as we move through the session that we're not missing something, some major areas that we intended or expected to be looking at. Are there questions or other additions that members would like to have added to the work plan? Representative Hanson?
Mr. Chair, I was just wondering how we will interface, if we will, the long-term options from the Vicatea Council in any of this.
Oh, I think it's probably early to say. Some of those, of course, we know are not so much revenue recommendations as they are probably recommendations for the Education Committee. To the extent that they're revenue recommendations with regard to tax restructuring of the general revenue system, I think that's going to be something we have to work part and parcel with the Ways and Means Committee and the Governor's Office and leadership in the House and Senate. Specific recommendations such as expanding local option, I think that's something we may have some opportunities to do in this committee. We'll receive that report, was it next week, at the end of next week?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that report should be ready on Friday. We will ask advisory council members to come and testify before the committee on the work they've done. We will have the report delivered directly to you next Friday. So,
and we as a committee can decide what we want to emphasize or where we want to go from those. I'm happy to work with a strong committee, and if we have some recommendations as a committee in a direction that we want to go, I'm happy to take those to leadership and to the governor's office as well as recommendations of this committee. So I'm not saying that we're going to be passive and just wait for direction. We'll have a role in this as well. Representative Hobson?
No, thank you.
Okay. Representative Virgin?
Yes, I'd just like to ask a question about the school distribution formula. Was there a discussion of declining enrollment in this committee in the last session?
Representative Verger, the declining enrollment issue has been a major one. As I recall, the last session, the distribution formula was really dealt with more in the Senate Revenue Committee, and declining enrollment was a very big issue for that committee. They did look at some specific proposals. We ran through analysis on those proposals, but nothing ended up being approved. But it was a major issue and discussed at length because we're aware of a large number of districts that have had significant declines in enrollment.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the work plan? I'm trying to think, do we take action on this, or we just recognize this as sort of by consensus, just charting out the direction that we go? I don't recall if we adopt this officially, do we?
No.
Okay.
No, what I can do is I'll make those changes,
yeah.
And there are changes that other members want to make, and then we can finalize.
Okay. So if you have others between now and then, please see Paul, and we'll try and have this back maybe next week in final form.
Okay.
That's good, though. I think a good orientation of the issues that we deal with. Those of you who have not been on the Revenue Committee, it's a big agenda. And some of it's even kind of interesting. And for since we're not taking final action on the work plan today, too, for those of you in the audience who have sat through more revenue committees than maybe the collective years that we have on this committee, if you're aware of some omissions that need to be addressed in the work plan, I would welcome your input on that as well, and we'll see if we can accommodate those in the work plan. But I think we've got a pretty extensive list of issues to address. Okay? All right. That is the work plan. Paul, you've got here the sheet on the Legislative mm-hmm. Revenue Office and the planning calendars and bill files. Do you want to talk about that?
Mr. Chair, the information there, one is just an introductory sheet that those of you that are new members, we provided for you initially, but that's just as part of the orientation packet on what our duties are, and to remind you of really one of the key roles that that my staff plays in the reconciliation process is we do all the revenue impact statements. And most of the revenue impact bills will come before you in this committee, but not all. So we have to make sure we keep track of those and work very closely with Legislative Fiscal Office to make sure that the budget is balanced when it's completed. But we also spend a lot of time on gathering information for revenue proposals. We encourage you to work with us on proposals, to come to us early, to talk about your concepts, and we can help you develop those and to use our staff as a resource to you. I do have our staff members listed, and as the chair mentioned, you will be seeing all of them very shortly. Those of you not familiar, we do have four economists, as well as myself, that are really focused. Each of the economists are focused in an area of expertise. Our newest member is Mazen Malik, who's come over to us from ODOT during the interim. Ed Waters was with us last session, and Ed has moved on to the Pacific Marine Fisheries Council in Portland. So we've hired Mazen Malik to replace him, and Mazen will be doing our property tax legislation. Elizabeth Martin Mahar was our property tax person last session. She's moved into the personal income and corporate income tax areas. Elizabeth runs our tax calculator, so any income tax proposal she can run through what the revenue impact would be and what the distribution of that change would be.
So she feeds OTIM, I see. Is that it?
She works with OTIM as well, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, OTIM is very sensitive, so they have to take good care of it. Steve Meyer does our school finance, and Steve has our model that has the distribution formula in it, so he can look at any level of school funding or changes in the school distribution formula and show you what the impact would be by district, the 198 districts. Dick Yates does our transportation, does our bond finance, does the timber taxes and kind of an excise tax, a cigarette tax. You'll see a series of bills in the cigarette tax, including one you're going to introduce for introduction today. So that gives you a sense of the kind of things that the staff does. And unlike other committees, we have each of my staff serves as the committee administrator for their particular bill. So they will take that bill and they will be in charge of it throughout the process. They also, what you'll find is helpful, I think, for you as you come back on the other side is if a bill originates in the Senate, they've already worked through that bill and are part of that Senate discussion, so they can bring to you what the issues discussed at the Senate in the Senate committee were. And we do now have a Senate Revenue Committee, or at least we have a Senate Revenue Chair and Vice Chair, so we're happy about that.
Just one thing I'd like to say about that. Committee members, you should feel free to work directly with Paul and with any other of the staff in the Legislative Revenue Office on proposals or questions that you have, either on bills that are before us or bills that you're considering or have questions about. You sure don't need to go through the chair. Our staff is available to you personally at your call. So make use of them. They know their areas. They're good folks to work with, and feel free. If I can offer you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely true. The other thing I would mention to you is we have hot off the press your Oregon 2003 Oregon Public Finance Basic Facts packet. And that is our biennial. We've tried to make it annual, but with all the special sessions, we were unable to have a 2002 version. But what this document does, and this office has produced it for 20 years, what it does is give you, we start out with kind of an overview, which I'll be talking through this tomorrow with you. And then we have each of the major areas income taxes, property tax, school finance, excise taxes, timber taxes, and so forth. So it gives you a lot of historical data, a lot of comparative data with other states. It's really designed to be a reference source for you throughout the session. And of course, you'll find that so many of these issues have a long history to them. And you can kind of trace through how the state's financial system has changed. One of the things that's always interesting to look at, I think, for members is back in the back on actually the last couple of pages there, K1 and K2, is the results of tax votes going back to the 70s. And we update that each year, and you can see kind of some of the major proposals, revenue proposals that have been made. We try to include not only those that were approved, but also some significant ones that failed. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a sense of kind of the history of things. And you can see, for example, that prior to Measure 5's approval in 1990, there were five separate, very similar property tax limitation measures that were all defeated. So, you know, you get a sense of kind of the history and how state revenue policy has been made over the last 20 years.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else? Did you want to talk on the planning calendars, bill files, or is that just for information to take back to the office? It seems pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. A little bit about the operations of the committee. This is committee members. It's the sheet that's in all in caps. Committee members planning and planning calendars and files. Just gives you some of the administration of the committee and what to expect as we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
So do familiarize yourself mm-hmm. with that.
One thing I would say, Mr. Chair, it is important to maintain your bill files because we will not bring the bill each time, so you need to have your file with that particular bill, and we'll give you so you'll have the agenda ahead of time, so your staff will know what bills will be under discussion.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, just generally about the what we're looking at, how we're going to operate? Yes,
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to thank Paul for holding our hand, walking us through. The information is very, very helpful, and thank you.
You have a daunting task.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I just want to say I appreciate being put on the more attractive end of the committee rostrum this session.
Well, we had to balance it out.
Yeah, I understand.
Now everyone's wondering, was I insulted?
Yeah. I know I was. I'm not wondering.
Any other comments? Okay, we have before us one committee bill. It looks like we picked up the other one from the desk. Is that right? So we just have... okay, thank you. This is LC 1437. Changes, technical and administrative changes to cigarette and tobacco product taxes to facilitate administration and enforcement, remaining penalties. This will be introduced as a committee bill for... Members, this will, new members in particular, of course, introduction of a bill as a committee bill is intended only to facilitate the introduction of the bill. It does not in any way indicate support or opposition and does not obligate you to vote for the bill when it comes back to us, assuming it comes back to us for action. So simply to move the bill into the process. The chair would move introduction of LC 1437. Is there any discussion? Any objection? LC 1437 will be introduced as a committee bill. I think that takes care of our business for the morning. Again, I'm pleased to have you and welcome you all to the Revenue Committee. I'm looking forward to a good session. Committee party will be at my house on May 12th. Unless we're done by then. No, I haven't. Oh, and I will be a little bit more specific about the date as we get there. But just keep those golden days in your sights there. Light at the end of the long, dark tunnel. We will get there, and I'm looking forward to working with everybody as we do, including all of you out here. Expect to see all of your faces on a daily basis. With that, we will stand adjourned until tomorrow morning. And again, no meeting on Friday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.